you don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Matcha.
I love matcha. So rich and smooth.
Do you love matcha love?
Yep. Matcha love is the best in the biz.
Experience the vitality of the whole tea leaf.
So many powerful health benefits.
You know what else I love? Sweet treats.
You are in luck. Matcha's great for baking.
Can you make cookies or cheesecake with matcha?
Yes. Or your other favorites, ice cream or madeleines.
Yes. Delicious.
Matcha love.
Get 25% off all matcha love products on itoen.com. Using code CRIME. That's code CRIME at itoen.com. Available on Amazon and itoen.com.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Ridiculous Crime is a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, Dave.
Oh, hey, Elizabeth.
It looks like Zarin's still gone. Did you see that telegram?
No. I didn't see the telegram.
All right, well, it reads, and I quote, "Hey, everybody, it's me, Zarin Burnett. I'll be back next week. I love a good Hofbrau." So I guess I'll ask you this. You know what's ridiculous?
I do.
Oh.
Have you ever heard of anting?
Anting.
This is something that crows do. Anting.
They do anting. They want to do.
No. So here's what happened. Last year, 2021, a photographer captured this behavior, which naturalists posited they thought happened, but nobody'd ever captured it. Mm-hmm. This guy, Tony Austin, got an image of a crow with its wings covered in dozens of tiny black ants. And I'm quoting an article here. In the throes of what appeared to be a behavior he described as a, quote, very odd and violent dirt bath.
Oh my God. They basically, they're like the people who get pedicures by putting their feet in the, with the little fish that eat the dead skin off their feet.
I guess so. We don't really know. Like, you know, the birders know. The birders.
How do they get the ants on them?
It is a question of dispute. So why they do it is maybe for some sort of like, you know, self-stimulation, or they may be getting the, you know, the toxins that the ants produce when they're afraid. So it, maybe it's like an adenochrome situation.
They're just rolling in syrup.
Yeah. We don't really know, and we don't know how. Like, one theory is they just go up to an anthill and they're like, hey, climb on, dudes. And another theory is they've been seen to pick up ants with their beaks and rub themselves with the insects. So maybe they're getting it going that way.
Well, maybe. Yeah, they get ant juice on them and the other ants are like, hold on, I'll save you.
Yeah,
and they all wind up.
It's called formic acid. The ants shoot formic acid from their abdomens or anal glands, which then is absorbed into the bird's body, and we think maybe it acts as an insecticide and keeps other bugs away.
Huh, that's interesting. Anting.
Yeah, apparently it's been seen in more than 200 species of birds worldwide, but we just don't know a ton about it.
Wow, that's ridiculous.
I think so.
It totally is. Do you want to know what else is ridiculous?
I do.
Firefighter versus clown violence and religious sectarianism. That's also ridiculous.
Yes, bring it on.
This is Ridiculous Crime, a podcast about absurd and outrageous capers, heists, and cons. It's always 99% murder-free. That, I promise you. And 100% ridiculous. Firefighters are heroes, Dave.
They sure are.
They They run in when everyone else runs out. They generally show up before an ambulance if there's a medical emergency. They save kittens from trees. That's a classic firefighter move. They only save people and pets and things. And they're also lauded on the hit Fox television show 911.
Wait, how do you know about that? You don't watch television.
I don't watch TV, but I've heard that.
Okay.
So the ones that I'm going to tell you about today, though, they're not heroes. No heroes. This is back in the early days of firefighting in North America, Toronto, to be exact, mid-1800s. So let me give you a little bit of the political landscape at the time. The police in Toronto were pretty much controlled by Irish Protestant immigrants.
Okay.
And they're members of the Orange Order. Are you familiar with the Orange Order?
I'm familiar with the Orange Julius Order.
That's a sub-branch. That's sort of like the way that the Shriners are part of the Masons.
Gotcha.
So the Orange Order, it all goes back to like William of Orange beating King James II and the Jacobites in the 1600s.
With a sack of oranges, right?
With a sack of oranges. Yeah, it was a brutal thing. The Orange Order, here's like the main thing that we need to know. They're basically a big part of, they're at the center of sectarian violence in Scotland, Ireland, and in this case, Canada. So I don't want to get into the whole back and forth. I have a very strong opinion on this matter, but I also don't want angry emails or an orange parade outside my door.
Bunch of Syracuse fans knocking you down.
I'm just gonna do my best and just tell the facts here. So it is safe to say that the police and the fire services, they drew heavily from the Orange Order in Toronto in the 1800s. And members of the Orange Order called themselves Orangemen. And then there was a government report in 1841 that said that the influence of the Orange Order on the Toronto Police Department was, quote, a great and growing evil, which should be discountenanced, denounced, and repressed by the exercise of every authority and influence at the disposal of the government. So, like, top down, they're just like, this is bad business, you guys.
Okay.
You should not be running the police department. It is important to note, Toronto, totally wild frontier town back in those days. Saloons, bordellos. As I was reading through all the research on this, I started to get the impression that a lot of these like psychos and hooligans in the police and fire departments were kind of hiding behind the protective name of the Orange Order.
Oh.
So it's like, if you're just a madman, you're like, yeah, I want to be a cop. I'm going to go bust some heads. And I'm in the Orange Order. Let me in. Because if you were a card-carrying member, they just gave you a job. Like, that was just well-known. So there's no vetting process. Bad actors, they'd be well-served to join the Orange Order in order to do whatever they wanted under the protection of the Orange Order. So there's growing tensions at play, too. Because this is mid-1800s. The Great Hunger, Irish Famine. In full swing, the diaspora has begun. And since Irish people are being starved out of their homeland, they fled to North America. We hear a lot in the U.S. about Irish in New York or Boston or all these other places along the East Coast, but a lot of Irish relocated to Toronto as well.
Hmm.
And these are Irish Catholic immigrants. And they're coming to a town run by Orangemen.
Oof.
Yeah, not ideal. Sectarian violence, hatred, real, not ideal. That's that delicate political state in Toronto at the time I'm going to tell you about. I've oriented you to time and place. Dave,
yes.
I want to talk to you about fire.
I love fire almost as much as you love trains.
I know. It's close. do you know much about the origins of North American fire departments, Dave?
I'm not going to make something up. I'm just going to say no.
So they weren't public municipal operations. They were private businesses, for-profit private businesses at the time. And they had like sliding scales for the cost to put out fires. So like the richer the neighborhood, the higher the cost. And then there were always rumors that they would start fires to be able to get paid to put them out.
Mm,
I
didn't realize the practice was that old.
So they really weren't the brave men and women of fire stations we know today. They weren't anything like Station 118 in the hit Fox television series 911, or so I've heard. So here's an interesting thing about firefighters, though, that I learned when I lived in Glasgow. That have you ever heard the derogatory term Ned to call someone a Ned?
No, I've heard Yob, but I haven't heard Ned.
So Ned is like a Scottish name for violent hooligans. And I was told that it's an acronym for non-educated delinquents, but I haven't been able to find anything to really like directly back that up. It's been in use for a really long time. And I did see that that was classified as a backronym invented after the fact.
Is that the same as the derogatory term for Italian immigrants in America, WAP, people say was without papers?
I think so, that it's not really, it's a backronym, which was a word that I learned. So NEDs, right? They terrorize and randomly attack people. They drink Buckfast fortified wine. That's about as much as I could tell. They also apparently don't like firefighters. So when firefighters respond to call-outs, NEDs attack them by throwing things like rocks, bricks, Molotov cocktails.
Or like an atomic dustbin?
An atomic dustbin. The NEDs have them. So it's like at its worst on bonfire night. But this goes on throughout the year. So when I lived there, there was an article in The Guardian that said, quote, youth set fire to cars in dead-end streets and then lay in wait for firefighters whom they attacked with knives or stones.
Holy cow. This sounds like Purge Night.
It's well, what's weird, too, is that like here in the States, firefighters are totally lionized. And like you can't imagine someone lighting a fire to then like, and not just one person, like a whole group of people being like, you know what? Let's get us some firefighters tonight and just, you know, light them up. So
this is
that's
dark.
What's happening. So there are neighborhoods in Glasgow where fire trucks, they can't go without police escorts. I don't get the reasoning behind all that. I don't know why the people hate the firefighters. But so in the early days of, I'm bringing this full circle. In the early days of firefighting in North America, the firefighters were basically NEDs themselves. Like, they were not trained, they weren't heroes, and they just wanted to, like, mess stuff up. So when you have a for-profit endeavor, like these fire departments, you also then have competition. So if a fire broke out, sometimes two different fire companies would show up, and sometimes the engine companies would fight each other for the gig right there, just, like, duking it out.
This scenario reminds me of, I think it's the, is it Mother Jugs and Speed? There's that movie about, like, the lazy ambulance company. And they're always duking it out for ambulance callers. They're like,
oh, this yeah, is I'm not ours. Familiar yeah. with it. Yeah, but that's basically the same thing.
Okay.
So a company might get sent out ahead, like they'll send one guy ahead of everyone else to call dibs on a hydrant. And then even if the other truck shows up first, he's like, sorry, we already called dibs on this hydrant. You know, they're right behind you. They would block each other in. From like responding to call, they couldn't get their trucks out to respond. And so this wasn't just in Toronto. That was all over North America, New York, Baltimore, even in San Francisco, although at the time they were seen as like a calmer sort of fighting than in East Coast firefighters. They just were like not as brutal. But firefighters at the time, they were violent guys. And 1855 was a particularly crazy year in Toronto when it came to rioting firefighters. So the first set to happened when two brigades, one of which was the Hook and Ladder Firefighting Company, responded to a fire. These two companies, they start fighting over who's going to put the fire out and essentially like get the contract for it. Of course, like the building's on fire this whole time and they're fighting out in front of it. And then the cops show up and they break it up. Someone's got to put out this fire. So the firefighters look at each other, they kind of shrug, and then they all turn on the police. So you've got the cops fighting the firefighters. It's this huge brawl. This melee keeps growing. Meanwhile, no one's fighting fires. Like, they're just fighting each other. It's madness. And that was later called the Fireman's Riot of 1855.
Wow. Was anyone, you know, like, standing there going, like, fellas?
They're like, there's like some lady holding her cat who's like, pardon me,
can't we work this out?
So, and you know, you got a solid riot on your hands when it gets its own name.
Riot.
Like straw riot. This is proper stuff. Let's take a break. Let's go see it. First, let's check and see if Zarin's back. You check the tennis courts.
Then
I'm going to check the prepper room in the basement. And then we'll circle back around here. When we come back, I'll tell you about an epically ridiculous riot in Toronto in 1855 that puts all other firefighter-involved riots to shame.
Hey
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco-Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Matcha.
So good.
Matcha Love.
Yes, I love it.
No, Matcha Love, the brand.
Oh, yeah, Matcha Love, made with real Japanese matcha.
It's rich, smooth, perfect for hot or cold brewing.
Matcha's great because it's rich in vitamin C and EGCGs.
What do you like to make with it? I like to make matcha lattes.
I'm all about making smoothies.
Why wouldn't you be?
Get 25% off all Matcha Love products at itouin.com using code CRIME. That's code CRIME at itouin.com. Available on Amazon and itouin.com. All right, we're back. I didn't see any sign of Zarin, did you?
Not right. On the tennis courts.
Let's talk riots. We've got firemen in Toronto, and they're pretty much all members of the Orange Order. They, across the board, love to fight, and they're proud of it. They're proud of their fighting ways. They've just gotten done fighting each other and then the cops. So it's summer of 1855. What else happens in the summer of 1855 in Toronto? The circus came to town.
Yes.
And let me tell you something. It wasn't just any circus, Dave. It was S.B. Howe's Star Troop Menagerie and Circus. Coming straight out of New York State, baby.
That sounds like something I would really like to see.
I would like to be part of a Star Troop Menagerie. That sounds amazing. But yeah, it was one of the first, like, honest-to-goodness circuses in North America. It had elephants, lions, tigers, the whole thing. All the abused animals a person could want to see perform against their will.
Rotten food, lots of...
You could see them whipped, you could see them insulted.
Lots of indentured servitude.
It was fantastic. It was also the first circus to hit the road. So, like, there are carnivals and such, but this one that had animals and stunts and clowns was mobile. So, are you afraid of clowns, Dave?
You know, that's a good question. Like, I feel like regular clowns, no, not at all. Like, if you are actually there to entertain and have a good time and you got a, you know, face paint and a wacky outfit, you're making balloon animals, great. I am afraid of horror movie clowns, though, because I feel like that's a whole different thing. At this point, it's normal to be afraid of, like, Pennywise or any of the zillion clowns in American Horror Story. Like, so yes, but no, like...
Yeah, I'm not, like, afraid of clowns as a rule, but there's something deeply, deeply creepy about clowns, and I'm a little suspect about people who want to dress up as clowns.
I had a boss once who was really, truly terrified of clowns. Like, you would send him, like, just a very innocent, benign clown photo in an email, and he would, like, just sit there and stare at it and be like, I'm so mad at you right now.
That's amazing.
Sorry, Mike.
Clowns always kind of smell bad.
Mm.
And like sweat and mothballs.
Who is it? Didn't we read that David Arquette is a...
Is he like a secret clowner?
I think he bought Bozo the Clown, rights to Bozo the Clown, and is like clowning it up for charity now.
Oh, boy.
I think it's David Arquette.
Godspeed. You know.
Bless him.
I don't know. I guess I'm happy for people who are like stoked on clowns. But
So you're not clown positive.
It's not that I'm neutral. I'm not clown positive. I'm not necessarily clown neutral. I'm clown suspicious. They're creepy. So the clowns in this circus, though, they also had like all the carny jobs of building the tents and breaking them down as they go city to city. So the circus rolls into town and the clowns slash roustabouts, they set everything up.
Do you think the clowns had to do that in costume?
I like to imagine yes. Big shoes flopping around. So the lead clown was a guy named Myers. And he, you know, they set up in Toronto. He's like, you know what? We deserve a night out, friends. Come on, my friendly buddies. So he took him to a bordello, as you do.
Of course.
When you're in Toronto in 1855. Yeah. Prostitution was illegal, right? But the brothel business was booming, especially when big events came to town, like the circus. Place would be jumping. They're like, circus is in town.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be a busy night at the bordello.
Wait. Would you think it was circus night at the bordello? Like, did some of the sex workers get into, like, would it pull out the people who were really interested in clowns? Like, interested in clowns?
Well, I don't know. What if you're working at the bordello and a bunch of clowns roll in and you have a clown phobia, but you got to make the rent?
I was thinking, like, you're in the big top, you're a spectator, you're watching, you're like, you know what? I really enjoy seeing these clowns.
And I'm like, really getting me going. I better go to the bordello.
Yeah, like, then you retire to the tavern in Bortello. Yeah, and then they're like,
probably
look more like a clown.
Like, I think it's just what do you crazy. Want me to do? I think it's just crazy everywhere you look in those times. Don't forget, too, the local cops, like, all the officials are corrupt. So they're just like looking the other way. Everything is just a free for all. They took the West out of Wild West and left the rest. So, this saloon slash brothel that they went to was owned by a woman named Marianne Armstrong.
Okay.
And I'm telling you that because it is not important at all. It doesn't matter. So it's a popular hangout, though, for like none other than the Union Hook and Ladder, not to be confused with the previously mentioned Hook and Ladder Firefighter Company. So they're not only competing, they all have basically the same name. So the firemen are there. They're hanging out and drinking and carousing with the sex workers. Remember, the firemen in Toronto are pretty much all Irish Protestants and Orangemen on top of that. Okay. And the clowns are Irish Catholic.
Wait, say that one more time.
The clowns are Irish Catholic.
See, I really enjoy it. It's a funny slide.
Irish Catholics had trouble getting solid upright work then.
Oh.
And being clowns didn't help their plight in the eyes of others, I'm guessing. But, you know, there we are. Circus is in town. It's July 12th, 1855. Do you know what July 12th is?
It's the day after the guy from the previous, Teddy Conrad, stole $210,000.
That's an interesting little intersection there.
Yeah.
July 12th is Orangeman's Day, a.k.a. the 12th. Hmm. It marks the Battle of Boyne, the whole William of Orange thing I told you about earlier, the Orange Julius victories.
Got it.
So the circus was in town for the 12th, and not just the circus. The Orange Order, pretty much, they spend the day marching in parades to commemorate this. It's a very drum-forward tone to their parades. Lots of drumming. You can hear these parades coming from really far away. There's lots of drinking, like a lot, and a lot of fighting.
So it's basically like a Clancy Brothers song come to life.
Yes. And for the Orangemen, this is the biggest day of the year. For Catholics, not. It's a very tense time. So a lot of Orange Order lodges, they purposefully hold their marches like through traditionally Catholic neighborhoods, which just heightens tensions. The 12th March in Toronto started in 1821, and it was the longest consecutively held parade in North America and the largest parade in Toronto up until the 1970s. So solid, you know, it's a big deal there. You know, the firefighters had been going hard in the paint all day, like, they're sunburned. They're just like, you know, perpetually drunk and ready to throw down. So,
hair trigger.
Dave, close your eyes.
I will not. Okay, fine.
I want you to picture it.
My eyes are closed.
Three clowns walk into a brothel. Their names are Myers, Lefty, and inexplicably Rodrigo.
Howdy, chaps.
Now, these guys may have been clowns in the circus and dressed up and done all the clowning and the antics and the whatnots, but they weren't dressed as clowns that night. These guys are also the roustabouts, right? Who assembled and broke down the entire circus operation. Mm-hmm. Heavy physical labor. What I'm trying to say is that these clowns were hard-boiled and they were ripped. And they're also Irish immigrants. So I can say this as a descendant of Irish immigrants, Irish Catholic immigrants who made their way at this time to San Francisco, that those folks like to tussle. They threw down without hesitation.
Was it like the wiriness of Jimmy McNulty? Of like, they could just like, they're stronger than you would ever imagine because it's
yes,
just,
like yeah. a secret creepy strength.
Yeah.
In my family line, I have a pair of brothers who went from nothing to like big time developers in San Francisco around this time. But they still acted as muscle for the sheriff when he wanted to rough people up off the books. Phew. So little dukers. So these clowns walk into the bordello and they survey the scene. Drunken firefighters are just lazed about, swilling booze, yelling, fondling ladies of the night. The clowns knew it was the 12th. And they knew the firemen were all orange order. Everyone knew these things. But the clowns wanted a party. And when the clowns walked in, the firemen knew they were Irish. So the clowns were standing there looking around, and a firefighter named Fraser walks up to them. He bumps into Myers.
Good Lord.
Whether accidentally, on purpose, or accidentally on purpose, Myers' hat was knocked off his head and onto the ground. Pick it up, said Myers. Nope, said Fraser. I like to imagine that it's Fraser Crane, as played by Kelsey Grammer. So if you're listening along and painting a mental picture of this at home, let's all imagine Kelsey Grammer doing this.
Ugh,
Myers?
Nice.
I don't know, Myers. Colin Farrell? Cillian Murphy? I don't know, whatever works for you. So there's a standoff. Fraser won't pick up the hat. Myers orders him to again. The place quiets down. Firefighters slowly get up from their chairs. Myers cracks his knuckles. A fireman twists his mustache and adjusts his suspenders. Lefty pulls a red foam ball out of his pocket and affixes it to the end of his nose. Another fireman takes his helmet off and puts it on the bar. Rodrigo, who is maybe Irish, who knows, who cares, wipes two streaks of white grease paint down his cheeks.
Yes.
My dudes, it is on. Chaos breaks out. Fists fly. Chairs are tossed. Grown men scream. Brothel workers sit on the stairs and watch in fascination. When the dust settled, those three Irish clowns had beaten the miracle whip out of the firefighters, all of them. Two of the firemen had to be hospitalized. And then the clowns ran off to the circus. So the firemen didn't take kindly to being handed their own rumps in their own town on their own big day.
No, sir.
By three clowns.
These
three clowns.
They're supposed to be the beefy boys.
Yeah, they're totally the beefy boys. And this is like, this is their time. And then they just get the whooping to end all whoopings. Now, when we come back from this break, I'm going to let you know how they dealt with these clowns.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Matcha.
So good.
Matcha love.
Yes, I love it.
No, matcha love, the brand.
Oh, yeah, matcha love, made with real Japanese matcha.
It's rich, smooth, perfect for hot or cold brewing.
Matcha's great because it's rich in vitamin C and EGCGs.
What do you like to make with it? I like to make matcha lattes.
I'm all about making smoothies.
Why wouldn't you be?
Get 25% off all matcha love products at itoin.com using code CRIME. That's code CRIME at itoen.com. Available on Amazon and itoen.com.
So when we left off, the firemen and the clowns were duking it out in a bordello, and the clowns won. The firemen, Dave, were displeased, to say the least.
I would bet.
Yeah. So the next day, they got a group together. You know, these folks could assemble a mob in an instant, these Orange Order guys.
It's like a convoy without the trucks.
Completely. They were just doing that noise with their mouths. So they head over to the fairgrounds. They want revenge at the circus. Panic at the disco, revenge at the circus, bargains at the TJ Maxx. So they just got themselves whooped by some clowns in a cat house. They want a do-over, right?
Let's play two.
Yeah. The police chief, he gets wind of this. And he was used to seeing this kind of Donnybrook. He owned a saloon at one point, but he's also an Orangeman. And so he sends six cops over to the scene. But there was absolutely no effort to quell the violence. They're
reserves.
Basically reinforcements, exactly. So they're like, for this, just this once, us police and fire will join forces. So the mob of Orangemen, they demand that the circus sends Myers out. He had already skipped town, so that's just not possible. He
Smart
blew
clown.
Town so fast. Yeah. The firemen yelled, give us Lefty and Rodrigo and any other clowns you got back there. No, yelled the circus owners. Not going to happen. They knew that if they sent the clowns out, if they released the clowns, they would set off a real riot. And they'd also be sending the clowns to like a super grim fate. You know, these guys, now they got a night's sleep behind them. They've had a good solid breakfast and they're ready to pound clowns. So it's not going to happen.
You think they were like, we're not going to send out the clowns. We're going to send in the clowns. Keep them here.
You want? Oh, I'm a clown. What about you're a clown?
Oh, isn't that rich?
Yeah. So the mob, they start throwing things at the circus tent. Rocks, bottles, whatever. Kind of like Ned's would at their firefighting descendants more than a century and an ocean away. The cat's in the cradle, Dave. Comes full circle.
Bringing tears.
It's so beautiful. So the circus folk, they're getting pelted, right? They start throwing stuff back. Bricks of pink popcorn, inflatable aliens, like all the good stuff.
I think they had around, yeah.
Actually, one of the things that they did throw was an iron rod, which like, I love this. They're like, bottle, rock. And they're like, here's an iron rod.
That escalated quickly.
It hit a fireman named Bird. I don't know why it's important for you to know that his name was Bird, but it was. This gets everyone whipped into an absolute frenzy. So the mob, they start lighting the wagons on fire. Now, at this point, the police chief did the first good thing in his life and prevented them from lighting the animal carriages on fire.
Oh, good.
Because I would not be telling this story otherwise, you have to know. You know, my guarantee to you is that if it's one of my episodes, you don't have to check, like, doesthedogdie.com. I can guarantee that every time.
We were really let down by that on a television program that we were watching. I won't tell you which one.
Yeah.
I
don't always
well.
Know to check, and sometimes it comes out of nowhere. But anyway, no worries here. Animals are fine. For that, I salute you, police chief. Everything else, though, fair game. They're just lighting fires like crazy, which is ironic. So with the circus burning, sirens sounded in the distance. It's the rest of the Hook and Ladder Company. They're not the saviors that the circus is looking for. So some of the circus workers, they jumped into Lake Ontario for safety. Because they're
thinking.
Just like, nobody's putting this fire out. And it's an all-out melee at this point. And that's when the mayor, George William Allen, he arrived with a militia. Now, a fireman was about to chop into a circus performer with an axe at this point. And the mayor steps in, grabs the axe, and saves the performer. And then he orders the militia, who had bayonets, end the madness, which they did. So they put down the whole crowd. They split them up. I guess someone at some point half-heartedly put out the circus fire. Hundreds of people were there that day, all participating. Only 17 were arrested. And no one involved would talk. So that's not a good ratio,
good
right?
Good police work. Real good police work. Solid.
Real good. So when they were questioned, people who were absolutely proven to have been there, like one guy's got like an iron rod in his head. They're like, it was dark. I couldn't really see what was going on. I don't know. Some of them said, I got swept up into it and I didn't know anyone else there. I don't know these people. They're like, that's your brother. He's like, I don't know him. Some cops who were there were like, I don't remember that. I do not recall. They're like, it was 2 days ago and you have soot still on your face. I don't know. There was a riot. Clowns, you say? That sounds crazy. So all 17 arrested, acquitted. Yeah, the glove did not fit. Police chief was asked what level of authority he had over his officers, and this is what he said. Quote, a very small one indeed. I give orders and instructions to the force, but cannot get them obeyed. As soon as I'm out of sight, the men do as they please.
Did they call this like the thin orange line back then?
It's totally. Well, like then you start wondering, how does the rest of Toronto feel about this, right? Yeah. Not good, Bob. They're fed up, right? So the first firefighter riot was bad enough. Then the clowns are a bridge too far. The truth of the matter is that Irish Catholics, because of the influx, are now in the majority in Toronto. And so while the Orange Order persisted and like they even tried to intimidate voters in that next like big election, the majority eventually ruled. So in 1859, a Reform Party mayor who had the support of the Irish Catholics was voted in. And then he and his group eventually cleaned house. Over the next 3 years, every single cop was fired. Now, most of them were hired back, but they were supposed to have like been able to display impeccable moral fortitude. I don't know if that's actually what happened. Some of the accounts, it makes it seem like that'd be a great resolution that suddenly everyone's law abiding, but I don't think that's how it works. Mm-hmm. But in 1874, the Toronto Fire Services were formed, and that was a strictly regulated public entity. So gone are the poorly trained brawlers of yesteryear. Then we actually have firefighters, like true firefighters. And that ends the tale of the Toronto Circus Riot. I think it's safe to say that clowns fighting firemen is ridiculous.
Absolutely.
Clowns fighting firemen in a brothel, more ridiculous.
Check, check.
Sectarian violence and bigotry, beyond ridiculous and downright idiotic.
Oof. Yeah, awful.
What is your takeaway from this, Dave?
Well, thank you for asking. you never ask me. I mean, you never ask me.
I literally do not ever ask you that.
You know, I think one thing that comes to mind is we've all been in a bar where those overtures are taking place.
Mm-hmm.
Like either someone's starting some on purpose and it's like, hey, I dropped my hat. Now you have to pick it up. Or, you know, something innocent happens and they take it too far. And I think we've all learned, like, do not be in that place.
Exactly. Remove yourself.
As soon as you see that little spark, like, it's much better to just be like, you know what? Let's move on to the next.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to be part of whatever historical riot is about to go down.
And also, I think now we know why you should be afraid of clowns.
Yeah, that makes sense, too. They're tough. They're ripped.
Yeah.
Ready
they're
to
good
rumble.
Fighters.
They're gonna take you to Clown Town. that's it for today. You can find us online at Ridiculous Crime on both Twitter for the smart stuff and Instagram for the photos. Email us if you want at ridiculouscrime@gmail.com. Otherwise, tune in next time. Ridiculous Crime is hosted by Elizabeth Dutton and, well, Dave Kustin.
That's me.
Produced and edited by Double Duty Dave Kustin.
Also me.
Research is by Andrea Song Charpentier. The theme song is by Renegade Rodeo Clowns Thomas Lee and Travis Dutton. Executive producers are level-headed aldermen Ben Bolin and Noel Brown.
Ridiculous Crime.
Say it one more time.
Ridiculous Crime.
Ridiculous Crime is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today. Health Aid Kombucha.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Matcha.
So good.
Matcha Love.
Yes, I love it.
No, Matcha Love, the brand.
Oh, yeah, Matcha Love, made with real Japanese matcha.
It's rich, smooth, perfect for hot or cold brewing.
Matcha's great because it's rich in vitamin C and EGCGs.
What do you like to make with it? I like to make matcha lattes.
I'm all about making smoothies.
Why wouldn't you be?
Get 25% off all Matcha Love products at Itoin.com using code CRIME. That's code CRIME at ITOEN.com. Available on Amazon and Itoin.com.